stood before Pilate during that case, during that kangaroo court, so to speak, and they were lying on him and all everything else. You know, at that moment, he was in the hands of Pilate. Pilate, the ruler Pilate there, could have done what he wanted to with Jesus. As far as in the sense, we know that the God's will was done and everything. But one day, guess what? Jesus will never be in the hands of Pilate again. Pilate right now is in the hands of Jesus at the judgment. Amen. He'll make the decision. He'll do the great things. And it's just a wonderful time this morning to celebrate Easter. Thank you for being here. If you're a visitor, we love you. Glad you're here. Appreciate you. Come back more often. Amen. We're just glad you're here in the house of God. And just want God to help you. Do trust you worship God. If not, then just come back tonight and worship Him. Amen. And let God just help you and help us. Amen. Genesis chapter 22 this morning. And I want to just preach what I feel like God has laid on my heart. And I really have felt this. The Lord has given me this message a while back. I couldn't tell you when it was. Several months ago, I was reading through Genesis 22. And this morning, I just feel this on my heart to try to deliver it to the church. And I want you to get how beautiful Calvary was and what He's done for us. And I know God will help us there. Genesis chapter 22, and we'll give you a moment to get there. If you see red writing, you're in the wrong half of the Bible. Amen. Very first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 22. Genesis 22. Praise the Lord. And we'll start reading in verse 10, and we'll go to verse 14, all right? Verse 10, Genesis 22, and verse 10. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, it is the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. Amen. Many of you know the story, but just in case you don't, it just endure me just for a moment. This is probably one of the most unique stories I read in the Bible. Just interesting about this man by the name of Abraham, chosen of God. And we know the story that Abraham was promised that, look, through your son is going to come a great nation. We know the story of Abraham being an old man when it was beyond possibility for him and Sarah to have children. God gave them a child named Isaac in their old age. How many knows that story? Amen. And we know that Abraham, Sarah, 90s and even close to 100 years old there when this happened. It's amazing to think that they were able to have this child. And through this child, every promise that God has given Abraham was going to be fulfilled. We know how the story ends because we have the Bible of how we know that Abraham took Isaac up that mountain, Mount Moriah, and there on top of that mountain then was going to carry out when God asked Abraham this question. He said, give me your son, not a question but commanded him, give me your only son, Abraham, as a sacrifice. Now, anytime we've read that, well, many people have questioned, why would God ask Abraham to do such a thing? And I want to preach today, if God will help us, on what I believe the greater context of this is. I know this has a personal application to Abraham. And a lot of times we look at it as God proving the faith of Abraham. But with God's help today, I want to preach to you on the dress rehearsal of Calvary. The dress rehearsal of Calvary. Anybody ever heard of a dress rehearsal before? Amen. Or a wedding rehearsal, whatever you like to call it, in that way. Where we know that a rehearsal is when you practice something that is going to come to place later. And today when we look at this, that is what this is. You've got to get this in order to understand this story this morning. Abraham is a picture of our Heavenly Father. We know that Isaac is a picture of the Son, Jesus Christ. And we also know there's a double picture of Jesus in the story. The ram and the thicket is also a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. I read the story years ago and just want to share it with you. At 11:30 a.m., May the 29th, 1953, Sir Edmund Hillary achieved fame by doing one of the greatest things and one of the first people ever to do this. He hoisted the British flag atop Mount Everest. You have to understand, he was the first man to do this. Heavily burdened, they clawed their way upward through the cold. Every step was dangerous and discouragement was on every corner. They would climb that mountain underneath such major conditions. At times, they felt like giving up. They were defying fatigue. They were raging elements all around them. Lack of oxygen, bitter cold, frostbite, and up to the entrance mountaineer, they clawed at the side of icy cliffs and all these things. But Sir Edmund and his partner stood where no man has stood before. He stood 29,002 feet above the level of sea, and no man on earth had ever at that time climbed that high before. But you know, that's amazing. We study about Mount Everest, how many men have done that since, and we read about this first man who was a pioneer who did it first. But let me take you to Mount Moriah today, which I believe that even though physically it's not higher than Mount Everest, but oh, how high was its summit. We read this story in Genesis 22 where there's another mountain that rears its head. It's called Mount Everest. We see two men climbing this mountain. His name is Abraham and his son Isaac. And I tell you this today, my friend, the way of this mountain was steeper far than Everest, and the road was tougher and costlier and harder. Not so much physically, but oh, what it was spiritually. And can you imagine when at last Abraham and Isaac stood together on top of his brow? They stood upon the eminence of a spiritual plateau, higher than man has ever reached before, where Abraham displays to us perfect obedience like the world at that time has never seen before. There's only one mountain that stands higher than that, my brothers and sisters, and that is Mount Calvary. Amen. We know that Mount Moriah seemed high spiritually, but oh, when I see Mount Calvary, it makes Mount Everest look like it's nothing. It makes Mount Everest look like an anthill, because Mount Calvary is a place, it's the highest possible pinnacle of surrender for one, and the highest possible pinnacle of sacrifice for others. You must understand this today. Few men had ever climbed that. We got to get this today, because Calvary to this day is a peak that we look back thousands of years and still throughout history, throughout years, throughout wars, throughout battles, throughout sicknesses, Mount Calvary still stands today, and still today it is in our eye view that Calvary changed the world in which we live in. Now, unique today, you must follow me for a few moments. What Calvary is in Genesis chapter 22, we look at this, and this blessed chapter in the Bible is unique because, follow me here, it displays to us what it meant for the Father to look at Calvary and what the Father went through. Many times in the Bible, we often get the view from the Son, Jesus Christ. We can turn to Psalm 69, Isaiah 53, and Psalms 22, and we can see what Calvary meant to the Son. But Genesis chapter 22 is the only chapter in the Bible where it's not the view of Calvary from the Son, but we see the view of Calvary from the heart of a Father. And there we can look at this, and what I want to show to you today is this. What was Calvary like for God the Father? I know we're not going to get into a Trinitarian here, try to describe it all, but we know this. The Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost are separate yet united. But we do know that the Father's heart was burdened there at Calvary as well. We look at this in Genesis 22. It says these great words, "Take now thy son," talking to Abraham, "thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him upon one of the mountains." This agent, that statement, in Scripture, "Take now thy son, thy only son Isaac," it has echoed throughout the ages, my friend. Overall, when God asked Abraham to give me your son Isaac, this was really also a picture of what it was going to be like for God Himself to lay His Son on the altar and one day die for all of humanity. So we look at this today, this echoes throughout all the ages. And God's purpose in this, when He was testing Abraham, was not just proving something by faith. He's also showing us there's going to be a substitute one day for you that, look, you don't have to give your only son up, Abraham, because there is a ram in the thicket and a lamb was provided for you and for you and for me this morning. Now look at this today if you would. If we could, just if you don't mind me doing this and follow me. When we look at Abraham in the story, let's see the Heavenly Father. And we look at Isaac the son in the story. Let's see the Son, Jesus Christ, just for a few moments. As He put our hand in the story upon the beating of Abraham's heart. I believe we can measure the pulse of the heart of God. As we watch Isaac make his way up Mount Moriah, I believe we can see Jesus and He parallels His way up the slopes of Calvary. It is a picture to you and I that you and I must see. Now with this said today, follow me just for another few moments. We'll preach in a minute. This Mount Moriah here, when God said, look, take thy only son Isaac and bring him to Mount Moriah, or in the region of Moriah there, and offer him there. Why did God choose that mountain by the name of Moriah? That word Moriah there in Scripture means foreseen of Jehovah. It is actually, when we look at this, it was not that God was taken by surprise at all by anything. God foresaw that. So when we're looking at the Mount Moriah and Abraham about to sacrifice Isaac, it's God foreseeing even in the future that, look, the lamb that was slain from the very foundations of the world. Isn't it amazing today, my friend, that man's sin was foreseen by the Lord? Guess what? He had put a plan in creation even before it took place in the Garden of Eden. He knew by foreknowledge what was going to happen, and there He put into place a plan for you and I of redemption, of salvation, of forgiveness, of a life that is in relationship to Him, all because of His foreknowledge. Now with us today, we've got to get this, that there's one thing we've got to understand about Abraham. Abraham, number one, today learned of the way of the cross. Notice what the Bible says. And Abraham rose up early in the morning. He saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. God had given him a place. He went unto the place that God has told him. Now with that said today, I want you to get this. When it says, and he went unto the place which God had told him, you've got to get this today. That word place is mentioned three different times in Genesis chapter 22. Notice this. It says this, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and went to the place. It says this again. It says, then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place. And then the Bible says, and they came to the place. I want you to get this. My mothers and fathers, listen to me for a moment. Could you imagine what would have been like for God to ask you to do something like this and gave you a destination? Could you imagine what would it have been like for you to pull up into the place where you knew you were about to have to sacrifice your only child? It was the place that God had told them. We look again. I want you to follow me here. In Luke 23 and 33, this is what it says. It says, and when they had come to the place, amen, is what it says, which is called Calvary, there they crucified Him. Now we've got to get this today in your minds, that Abraham trod the way of the cross. When he saddled his donkey, he summoned his servants, he sent for Isaac, he split the wood, he set forth the way, and he saw the place the whole time in his mind. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever traveled somewhere you knew where you were going, and you had that place in mind? You know, when I'm going home to see my mama and daddy, and I don't get to do it enough. I remember when I first moved here, I said, this is a blessing. I'm only an hour and, a half away from home. Brother Eddie said, you might as well be 5 hours. Because you just don't have time to get home like you'd like to. But when I think of Mama and Daddy's house, I think I drove the same thing for 20-something years of my life. I just picture, you know, walking in the garage door, you're going in the kitchen, you just have a place in mind. So here, get this. This place was in the mind of God even before the very foundations of the world. He knew that Mount Calvary was going to be there. Now get this as we move forward here. I believe, and I know this is my title, I believe this was a dress rehearsal for Calvary. We we read that the Lord Jesus, when we read in the story, we hear Abraham and Isaac. It tells us that when Abraham got to the place of Moriah, first thing he did, he looked to his servants that was with him and said something like this, "Look, y'all, you can't go no further with us right now." He said, "I want you to stay here. Stay here with the donkey." He said, "Me and Isaac are going to worship, and I like what Abraham says. It's an act of faith." And he says, "We will return unto you." Amen. He didn't know what was going to happen. He believed that, look, if I kill my son, I believe God's going to raise him up. Amen. That's excellent faith. Amen. So he tells his servants, "Look, I want you to stay here. You can't go no further." And if you watch here for a few moments, as he takes Isaac and he lays the wood on Isaac's back, and then he takes a knife in hand, and then he takes the flame, maybe a flame in the other hand on a stick, and they start working their way up Mount Moriah there. My mind instantly went to when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He looks at his disciples and says this, "Look, y'all can't go no further with me, Peter and John." He said, "You can't go no further." And the Bible says in that Garden of Gethsemane that Jesus walked a little further. He fell down on his face. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, I picture here, as we often think of what Gethsemane meant to the Lord Jesus Christ, I just picture here in my mind, what did Gethsemane mean to God the Father? Can you imagine, brothers and sisters, if you ever have a child, could you imagine being Abraham, knife in one hand and a flame in another, and you lay the burden of wood on the back of your son Isaac, and you start working your way up the side of that mountain, and Isaac looks over at you and says something like this. He says, "Look, Daddy, where's the lamb for the sacrifice?" And Abraham looks back at him and says, "Oh, son," he said, "God will provide." When he said, "God will provide a lamb," amen. But can you imagine what it was like for Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane as he's down on his face and he says, "Lord, if there be another way," and he says, guess what? We know the story there. He says, "But not my will, but thine, dear Lord." Almost like saying, "Where's the sacrifice?" If you don't mind me saying it that way. So notice the story here. They went, both of them, together. I wonder, follow me. You're Isaac, and there's Abraham. I wonder when the reality check came to Isaac and looked around and said, "You know what, folks? I've got wood on my back. Daddy's got a knife. And Daddy's got a flame. But I don't see no lamb. Hey, Dad, where's the lamb at?" "Son, he's going to provide for us." Can you imagine that? Where did it settle in the mind of Isaac? "Hey, I'm the lamb." Because he had to think of it sometimes, because his father did bind his hands and lay him on an offering. You see what I'm saying? A lot of times we act like, some people, I've seen picture it, that Abraham had to chase old Isaac around and wrestle him to the ground and tie his hands up. No, sir. Isaac was enough. He was a lad. You study the Word. He was old enough. He had a will himself. Yeah, I believe he could have fought his way loose if he wanted to. Study it yourself. He was old enough that if he wanted to, don't you think old Abraham might be a little slow or something? Not as strong as he used to be? Man, I remember, I ain't going to tell on myself, but years ago, I remember my dad chased me. And I remember getting a little faster than him, but when he caught me, I knew it. I ain't saying I did right. He let me know I didn't. Because he did. I remember one time he was stubborn. I ran from him. He said, "You'll come back." I came back. I wish I didn't at the moment. But I'm glad I stayed. I got some food and all. Amen. So understand this. Isaac is of age. He could resist if he wanted to. He didn't have to wrestle him. He was not dragged in chains. He was not struggling and resisting. My friend, hear me. He could have got away if he wanted to. But where at during that trip of Mount Moriah? Or maybe one point in that where Isaac looks over at his father Abraham, sees the knife in one hand, sees the flame in the other hand. Maybe he looks at his father's face. Maybe there's tears running down the face of the father. Maybe he's seen the agony on the face of Abraham. And maybe Isaac in his own obedience says this, "Look, I don't understand what's going on, but I know when it's important to the Father, it's important to the Son. And if I know it's hard for the Son, it's going to be hard for the Father." And then as they marched their way up Calvary, we don't know how it happened, but when did he come to that reality check? I believe that the wood on the back of Isaac, as it got heavier and heavier, step by step, and Isaac looked again at the Father, and he looked over there and seen the anguish. But what about Abraham looking at the Son? Maybe he was carrying that knife and that flame. With tears in his eyes, he take a glimpse over at his son. I said, "That's my son. That's my only son. I love him with every. I'd rather die than him. I'd rather my life be in his stead. I'd rather my life be taken and not his. Lord, I don't understand it, Lord. I don't know why, but I do know this, that if you say it, Lord, and you've said there's a promise, I know you can raise him up from the grave again if you want to. I believe as Abraham looks over there, he keeps just saying that secret glance stole. He stole at his son, his beloved, his only son. He would say, "Oh, my son Isaac, my son, would God that I'd give my life for you." As they're walking up the side of that mountain. And but my friend, hear me today. Can we not feel what God the Father felt in the dark Gethsemane when Jesus said, "My Father," and he said, "Here am I, my son," and he says, "Behold the cup," and he said, "If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will but thine." The only answer the Father could give at this point was this, that no lamb will be there for you, son. Yes, there was a lamb for Isaac, but Jesus, there's not going to be a lamb in the thicket. You were the ram in the thicket. You were going to be the substitute. You were the type and shadow of that. You're not going to have a substitute. You are the substitute. Keep that in your mind for a moment. But can we imagine this, as the Bible says, and they came to the place which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. We look at this. Look at each deliberate step here. As first Abraham builds an altar and then he brings the wood there. He lays it in place. Here it is. Isaac is there with his hands out to the father as he begins to bind his hands. He begins to wrap his hands. And now, friend, as we look at this, we must get this in our mind. Each act is recorded. Only when the knife, notice this, how it was, when Abraham took that knife and lifted it up and looked in the eyes of his loving, his beloved son, his only son, he lifted that knife in the air. He looked down at his son when he's about to bring it back. Can you not see God the Father when he pictures Calvary as Jesus is laying there on that cross or hung there on that cross, nails in his hands, nails in his feet, and God has to take that knife of his divine wrath and bring it down on his only son? Can you not picture that in your mind this morning, as the liquid in his eyes, so to speak, for Abraham is running down his face? He don't want to have to do it, but it has to be done. You know, Abraham, this wasn't his first sacrifice. Maybe Abraham's mind flashed back to the first time that he ever sacrificed a lamb. As a young man, he calls to the lamb, and that lamb comes running up to him, nuzzles up to him. He brings that lamb. He lays that lamb on the altar. He ties, he binds that sacrifice. He lifts the knife up. He thrusts it through the lamb. And there, can you see, as Abraham, maybe the first time, looked at that lamb and said the innocent lamb had to die. But can you imagine Abraham looking out at a lamb? But can you imagine as now he must slay his son? It was a work of the cross that we must look at. Was there ever such a dark and tragic work performed beneath heaven in all the ages when God looked down at his son and had to judge his son for the sins that you committed, amen, that the sins that I have committed? And there his son was a sacrifice for him. But aren't you glad the story don't stop there? Notice what the Bible says. When Abraham's hand was stayed in there, he had it at its climax, about to pull down. It says the angel of the Lord stopped him by saying this, "Abraham, Abraham." And Abraham said, "Here am I." And he said, "Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from him." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram, offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. What does that name mean? God, can you say it again? That sounds good. He's going to provide. Church, did he provide for you? I look at this and must come to this conclusion. So many things here. That the truth which God had protected for him from, the knife was stayed in Abraham's hand because it would not fall on Isaac, but it's going to fall on Jesus. It's going to fall on Jesus. I pictured this the other day and was just excited in my own spirit. Can you imagine being Isaac laying there, your hands bound. And I don't know if Abraham had his hands over Isaac's eyes or whatever it was. But can you imagine all of a sudden, Father Abraham going up to Isaac and cutting the bands off his hand and cutting the bands off his feet and putting the knife back in its sheath and saying, "Son," can you imagine as the father Abraham embraced his son there? Can you imagine the tears that are running down Isaac's face? Can you imagine the tears that are running down Abraham's face? But what thoughts must have surged through Isaac's soul as he stood there? And guess what? A ram is called in the thicket to watch his dad go over there to that bush. And that ram, he takes that ram and brings him over to the altar. Lays that ram down on that altar, ties his feet, lifts the knife in the air, and thrust it through that ram. This thought came to me the other day. I wonder if Isaac ran and embraced the ram before it died and said, "Ram, that was supposed to be me, but you took my place." I wonder here at what similar thoughts as the tears flowed down his cheeks there, and he watched the blood flow out of that lamb as Isaac said to himself, "That should be me. That was me just a few moments ago. But the ram took my place." What thought should fill our hearts even this morning as we think of the Lamb of God provided not just for Isaac, but for the sin of the world? You know what Easter's about? Yes, it's about the resurrection. Yes, it's about His crucifixion. But it's about you embracing the Lamb because you know that the death that He died should have been you. If you don't have that rise up in your heart this Easter, then you might as well stay at home. I've shed tears all week reading about the... If you can read about the crucifixion and just smirk through it and say, "Oh, just a good story." No. It ought to be something in your heart that cries out. Every time you read about them putting nails in the hand of Jesus, you ought to say, "That should have been me, but He took my place." Every time you see a crucifix somewhere, hanging up anywhere, when you go in any place, you should say, "That should have been me, but Jesus took my place." Every time you hear the words on the old rugged cross, it ought to rise up in your heart and say, "That should have been me, my friend." You should say, "That should have been me, but guess what? He took your place." What I feel in my heart today as we look at this, this is called the doctrine of the substitution death of Jesus Christ. He died instead of sinners in their place. If you accept His sacrifice, you don't have to suffer for your sins because He paid the price for you. You don't have to go to hell because of your sins if you come to Christ. Can you picture right now in your mind, once again, that ram laying on that altar dead? But in that, can you picture Jesus on the cross? And can we be like Isaac and say, "Oh, that should have been me"? As my wife makes her way to the piano this morning, I believe here the Holy Ghost paints for us one of the greatest pictures of Calvary in the Bible. The unforgettable experience of Abraham and Isaac on Mount Moriah had its sequel when God and His Son is pictured at Calvary. I would say this to you today, that the Lamb that was slain, if you do not accept Him in this life, the Lamb that was slain one day is going to reign. And when the Lamb that was slain reigns, if you didn't accept His sacrifice now, there'll be no way of accepting it then. I like what John says in Revelation 5. There was none worthy to open the book. He said, "But all in the midst stood a lamb as it had been slain. You get that? Stood a lamb as it was slain, as it had been slain. A slain lamb doesn't stand, but a resurrected lamb does. Would you stand to your feet all over the church this morning? It says in Hebrews 11:17-19, "By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. He that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, 'That in Isaac shall thy seed be called,' accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead. from whence also he received him in a figure. Church, we're not receiving him in a figure today. He's here and he's real. I wanted to preach something about the resurrection, something that'll make every saint just want to clap their hands and say, praise the Lord. But I said, Lord, on this Easter morning, if I don't paint a picture of Calvary for this church, I felt some would be here this morning that needs to hear this. You don't have to die in your sins. Isaac, you don't have to die. What would it have been like for Abraham if he looked at that ram in the thicket and still killed Isaac? That would have been almost inhumane, strange. And the ram, guess what? Isaac would have known. Isaac, you don't have to die. You can get up off the altar and know that Jesus Christ died for your sins that you could be saved. Could everybody bow their head, every eye closed this morning? Every head bow, every eye closed. Please be reverent to this moment. On this Easter morning, I was praying even yesterday, God, what do I need to do yet tomorrow on Easter service? I felt in my heart it'd be a perfect time, Holy Ghost, help us here, to invite somebody to accept the Lord Jesus Christ in their heart. Oh, friend, can you picture what Jesus died, what He went through for you? Can you see the blood running down His face? Can you see the nails in His hands? As the call of Calvary is this, come unto Me. You don't have to die in your sins. You can live for Jesus Christ. You can serve Him. I would today you get this today, that God would help us in this service.